Well, how is your mind? We're called to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, and strength. And what? Heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God with your mind. And sometimes from when I spend time with people who are from Reformed or Presbyterian backgrounds, we probably spend more time in the world of the mind than some groups and denominations do. But are we really looking at not just thinking with our minds, but loving God with our minds? And we want to spend a few moments and give you some thoughts, that, ways that you can evaluate, examine your mind and say, is my mind really being shaped the way God wants it to be? And the first thing, and probably the, you know, by, without question, the most preeminent thing is our mind saturated with the Word of God? Do we know the Word of God? Not just a book we study for sermons, not just truths we know, but is our thinking, our very mind sort of hardwired with the truth of Scripture? So when something comes up, we think biblically, we think scripturally, we think according to God's truth. Some years back, I had an opportunity to work with a group of seminary students. They were first-year seminary students beginning training to become pastors. I think there was 8 or 9 young men that were part of this particular group, and they asked me to be part of a mentoring team that would mentor and encourage them, which, Sherry, I love that we have a passion for leaders, and particularly younger leaders, and so I said, I'd love to be part of that. I actually said, I'll take them out for lunch. Took them out to an Italian place for lunch. We sat down around this table. And one of the first questions I asked them is, I said, well, let's just go around the table, let's introduce ourselves, and then just share what you're learning from God's Word right now, what God's teaching you through Scripture. I just wanted to, I'd love to hear what God's doing in people's hearts and lives. So the first person kind of shared about himself a bit, and then he said, well, I'm studying Ephesians right now because I'm writing a sermon for my preaching class in seminary, and talked about studying for his preaching class and what he learned from that. And the next person said, well, I'm a youth intern, and so I'm preparing these messages for the youth students. He started talking about what he was learning from God's Word as he prepared to teach students. And after 2 or 3 of them talked about what they were learning from God's Word as they prepared for their assignments in school and at church, I said, no, let's start back over. I wanted to hear about what you're learning from Scripture just as you sit at the feet of Jesus, just as you open God's Word for to say, God, what do you want to say to me? You know the difference, right? When you're preparing a sermon, you're thinking a certain way. When you're preparing a Sunday school class, you're thinking, yes, God teaches you, but you're also thinking, how am I going to teach others? But it's different when you just come before God and open the Word and say, Lord, what would you say to me? What do you want to speak to my soul? So I said to these leaders, talk about that, what God's teaching you in those times, whatever you call them, devotions, quiet time, whatever term you use. The first one said, well, I really don't do that anymore. I used to, but since I got into seminary, I've gotten so busy, I don't do that anymore. And they went around one by one and honestly said, in front of each other and in front of me, every one of them said, I don't spend any time with Jesus and in the Word of God just for me and Jesus. I only do it now as assignments. And then one of them said something very interesting. One of them said, you know, I used to have that daily devotional time, that personal time with Jesus, and I plan on getting back to that when I get into full-time ministry. So, but right now I'm in school, and when I get out of school and go into ministry and things slow down, then I'm going to get back to it. And I've never shared that story and not had leaders laugh, churchly, because I looked at them and I said, you will never have more free time than what you have right now. And if you don't begin to live that out now, you might become one of those church leaders who leans on their spiritual growth as a child or a teen or pre-seminary, pre-formal training, and then goes year after year after year too busy to sit at the feet of Jesus and be with their Savior. And so the first thing I want to challenge you as you examine your mind is to say, do I have a mind saturated in the truth and healing power of Scriptures? And maybe that would be where the Spirit would stir you. You might say today, I need to pull away during the free time for 15 minutes or half an hour and just open the Bible, not for a sermon, not for an assignment, not for something that's due, not for something I'm going to be graded for. And sadly, we get graded even when we preach by some people, you know, but not for anything that just to say, Spirit of God, you know, what would you say to me through your word? And it's interesting. I had a pastor some years back, a guy I got to know, and he said, every week I'm struggling to think of something to preach about. He said, by Thursday or Friday, I've got to come up with something to preach about. And I didn't tell him this directly, but I thought, I plan my preaching a year in advance. I have a whole year, not the whole sermon written, but I know the title, the text, the theme for a whole year. I right now have 2012 laid out, and I'm sad that there's things that God's teaching me as I read His Word that I can't get to till 2013. Because God's Word is so rich. I'm just right now, I'm lingering in the book of Acts right now, and I'm just reading to say, God, what were you teaching about being a leader? And I'm just writing notes and reflecting about, God, speak to my heart. Teach not everyone, just teach me about who you want me to be. You call me to be a leader, so just speak to my heart. And I'm not thinking about so much the church or people. I'm just thinking me to become who you want me to become. You've gifted me. Now I want to become better, a better version of who you've made me to be. And so I've been doing that for probably about a month or maybe or so. And Sherry and I talk a lot about what we're learning in the Word, and we share with each other. And so, and I love that time. And I would, and even out of that, I'm just constantly, God's stirring my heart and teaching me new things. And so even if it's just 5 or 10 minutes or 15 minutes a day, just between you and Jesus. And some of you say, well, I've got 4 kids under 7 years old. That just doesn't, or I've got all these responsibilities. There's time for what we value most. And we have to get creative and tricky and sneak around to find time sometimes. But God will give us that if we search after it.
Actually, as Kevin and I were going through the outline, I was reminded that for so many years with 3 small children, finding that time every day to let my mind, you know, dwell on the Word, I found a very simple way to do it. And I actually, it's kind of funny because I had it in my purse, but one of the things that I did was when I would go to a conference and I get a name tag like this, I would keep the name tag, I would keep the holder, and then I would, and it's funny because in my purse, and I didn't plan this, but it's actually, I still have these name tag things, is I would just find different passages and I would write them on a little piece of paper, and then when I would do my housework, I would wear my name tag. And I would actually put the verse like this, so then I could just dwell on the Word. And, you know, Kevin's got a book, Seismic Shift, The Little Things That Make a Big Difference. That was a little thing that made a huge difference in my life. But I still kind of do that, doing dishes. I'll just put a couple of verses. I don't have a great memory. I don't seem to be able to memorize verses easily. I have to kind of work at it. But I just write them on a scrap piece of paper and just put it. And I have them in my purse so that if I get, you know, 10 minutes and I don't have anything to do, I grab out my little cards. And with technology, we have our, you know, our phones and we can pull up the Bible and stuff. But I'm still kind of doing it the old-fashioned way because I think I did it for so many years. But and I still remember a couple times people would come to the door and I'd have my name tag on, you know. I had to remember before I'd answer the door, take the name tag off. And I didn't really tell people what I was doing. But for me, it was really rich, and it really set a pattern for my life, just to be in the Word. I do this thing now when I entertain, and we entertain a lot, that I make sure that when I'm cooking, I put a couple of verses there, and I pray for the people who are coming. But just the little things we can do to keep our mind and our hearts on the truth.
Yeah, when you read Deuteronomy or the Old Testament passages about the people keeping the scriptures and the you know, the in the little box on their hands and their foreheads, and some that became almost a legalistic symbolic thing with time. But the idea of I through the years I found hundreds and hundreds of Bible passages, you know, on mirrors and around the kitchen and going through the laundry and pockets of things, you know, and Sherry's, that's just something she does. But to saturate our minds and our hearts is, so just ask yourself as you examine your mind, is my mind really being filled with scripture? At the way, the kind of the rate and the level it should be. And if not, let the Lord speak to you about that.
I just have one quick story. This wasn't planned, but I led a mission trip about a year and a half ago and went to South Africa, to Johannesburg, to work in a shanty town. And I broke my tailbone 7 days before we left. And I prayed and I felt like the Lord still wanted me to go. But one of the things that I did was I found a Bible verse and I wrote it on a little piece of paper and brought it with me the whole trip, pulled it up. I was in pain most of the time, but it was that little piece of paper that really saved me during that time. And I told somebody this morning about this, and you're not going to get the full details, but it was interesting because, you know, you have to lean heavy upon God at different times. And I just knew I needed my mind someplace other than my pain. But when we got to the airport to catch our first plane in Detroit, the flight was canceled, and thus every, you know, other flight was goofed up. And so my story is that from the time I left my home till the time I landed in Johannesburg, I was in an airplane or in an airport for 49 hours. Yeah. That verse, I have to tell you, just the truth of God's scripture. I would just pull it out, pray, keep my mind saturated in the truth of God, mm-hmm. and actually had a good trip.
Yeah.
But anyway, that was a real life situation for me.
And her clothes got there a day before she came back home again.
Yeah.
So it was quite a... You need scripture in those times, don't you? A few other thoughts. And these are just things that, and in the book, Leadership from Inside Out, what's that?
I'm lowering.
Oh, that's all right. It'll stop eventually.
I'm up on the ground here. Jack, how come I'm lowering? I just didn't want to end up on the ground. Sorry.
That's as low as it goes.
Technology. No. There, thank you. Okay.
You okay?
I think I'm going down. I ate too much this morning.
You're fine. May I continue? No.
My show is done.
There you go. Some other things as you think about your mind and really saying, God, am I giving my mind to you? As I examine my mind, here's some things we can think about. I'll just touch on these briefly, and you can dig into more detail if you want to in the book. And actually, you can download the book. A lot of times, I don't know if you download many books. I've been reading more off my iPad and with a Kindle or an iPad, but I think this book, Leadership from Inside, you can download for almost half the price of the print copy. And so, but you can go into greater detail if you want to. Letting others challenge us. Do we let other people challenge our thinking? I always make sure I'm in a pastor's group. I had one group I was part of for 12 years, another one for 7 years. And we would gather once a month with other pastors, and we would challenge each other's thinking. We would think together. We would pick topics to work on and to grapple with together. And we would have one person lead the conversation, but others would come with their own thoughts and ideas. And we would just get in a room for have a lunch and spend 3 hours together and just think. And so we talk about how do we handle this part of our church government? How do we get things moving forward when sometimes the systems we have in place for our church government almost become a series of breaks stopping us. We think about it and grapple with it together. And I learned so much from other leaders. And so like when I said yesterday, one of the things that Sherry and I look forward to about this is what we get to learn. I wasn't just saying that. I love being around leaders who think. I talked with Leo earlier and just heard about some of his work with elders and just the way that he helped them think in new ways and the conclusions they came to. And I thought, man, that's helpful to me. And so do we get with other leaders? And some of you might say, well, you know, there may not be a lot of other reformed pastors right in your area. Well, are there Bible-believing, strong Christian pastors? Well, we can spend time with non-reformed people. I hope so. We're going to do that in heaven. Let's get used to it now, right? We are going to do that in heaven. Okay, just you don't seem convinced, do you? Well, we're going to have our own section over here. And so letting others challenge our thinking and gathering together that way. Lifelong learning. Now, you're here right now, and so you are committed to learning, you're committed to growing, and you're listening with a hunger, with a desire to learn. But do you look and say, you know, whether I'm in school or not, I'm always a student. I'm always learning. Like right now, I just started this book recently, and I decided it's called Replenish. This is on that very similar theme to Leadership from the Inside Out. It's about the soul of a leader. When I wrote Leadership from the Inside Out, I had an organization called Leadership Network contact me and then also my publisher, and they said, we're doing this series on leadership, and I think that you've got about three or four of the books from that series on the back table here. And there's about 12 books in this series, and they asked if I would write a book on leadership. And I said, I only have one topic I want to write on, because I think everything else has been said so well by smarter people than me. But the only thing I see a big gap is the inner life of a leader, the soul of a leader, that we're doing that inner work. And so that's something I haven't seen much on. But since that book came out, a bunch of other books on the soul, you know, soul care, the soul of a leader have started coming out. And this is one of them. It's called Replenish by Lance Witt. And it's 41 just short little chapters. So I'm actually thinking of taking my leaders of the church, my board, my leaders next year through this book. And we do a book once a year with our leadership kind of community, and we always are always walking through a book. We're doing the story this year. We did Leadership from the Inside Out last year. We're going to do this one next year. So this is something I'm reading right now that's really been feeding my soul. And then the other one I'm reading is by a guy named Gordon MacDonald. And Gordon MacDonald, if you've heard of him, he is a guy who was a great, powerful leader, did not do very good soul care, and ended up compromising his ministry through having an affair. And he talks about that, and he... And God, by God in His grace, allowed Gordon to restore his marriage and maintain his ministry. But he has this book right here. It's called Building Below the Waterline. And that concept of, you know, building this foundation of this bridge, this picture of a bridge. And if you don't build below the waterline, the bridge eventually falls down. Very similar kind of a theme. That I'm reading that right now as well. And this has been a really helpful book. And Gordon speaks out of his own pain, and he shares honestly about the fact that he almost, his choices almost cost him his entire ministry, his marriage and everything, but God, by His grace, and we believe in a God who restores, has restored him, and he's now serving the Lord. But, for me, I'm always looking and saying, what are two or three books that would speak to my heart and impact me? And, you know, there's seasons in your life where you can say, I know people who say, well, I read three or four books a week, and I said, wasn't that good for you? and they have a margin of free time. And some of you say, I can't read one or two books a year. But if you read just little pieces, like this one, the Replenish book, the chapters are only 3 to 4 pages long. You might go, that's perfect. It's sort of the purpose-driven life of leadership books right now. It's just short little chapters. And so, you know, I would encourage you to always be looking and saying, how am I still learning? Great websites, articles, listening to sermons of other, I have 3 or 4 pastors that probably every month I listen to 1 or 2 or 3 of their sermons. Partly for the content, partly because it stirs my heart and speaks to me, partly because I learn from them. I'm being mentored by some of these different preachers. And that becomes my own, creating my own study program. I'm still learning it.
And actually, I was just going to share what I'm personally doing right now. And Kevin's more of a hungry learner than I am. So I have to figure out how can I keep learning. And just recently, I realized that I wasn't reading anything other than the scriptures. And it's a good thing to be reading the scriptures, but I want to make sure that I am this lifelong learner. So I had heard about Timothy Keller's book, King's Cross. I don't know if any of you have read it. Excellent. And so I just called one of my friends up and said, I started reading it, bought it at an airport actually, and read the first chapter. It's really his study through the book of Mark. So I just called one of my friends up, said, hey, Betsy, there's a book out. You want to check it out? And could we do this together? And so we are. And we're just getting together. We're taking a walk once a week. We read a couple of chapters. We're reading through the book of Mark each week and just kind of made it happen with one telephone call and a walk. And so that's how I keep myself, kind of taking that step forward.
And one of the things, just in hearing Sherry talk about that, it reminds me of this idea of people watching your back. Sometimes just accountability. She has this friend, Kristen, who she walks with, and they talk together. But just knowing that she and Kristen are going to meet reminds her I need to be doing my reading through my book and being in the Gospel of Mark because we're going to be talking about it soon. And that kind of fellowship helps. A couple other quick thoughts here on our mind. Creating a resource team. If you really want to grow your mind, find people around you who are smarter than you are or who know more than you do about certain topics. And so through the years, I have a new person on my resource team, a guy named Dennis McFadden. And Dennis is one of the pastors at the church where I serve now. And he's a marriage and family therapist. And he's got 2 degrees in counseling. He's working on a PhD right now in counseling. If I want to learn to think better about counseling and helping people in crisis, I can go find 20 books and study them, or I can go to Dennis and in 10 minutes I can glean from his brain and from his wisdom everything I need to know. Think smart. You know, who when you're going to deal with something in youth ministry, who do you go to? Do you have someone you can give a call to? And if you think of somebody that they know a lot about that I really respect them, you try this. Call them and say, I'm putting together a resource team so that when I get stuck or I need great wisdom and insight on this topic, could I call you and ask you, would you give me just 10 minutes of your time when I get stuck and help me through things? Absolutely not. Right? They'd be so honored. They'd be so honored. And maybe one of you will call someone else in this room and say, boy, when I'm working through certain theological issues, I've talked to if you want to think about things relating to helping elders do things in a new and creative way. Where's Leo? Right there. And we just chatted about that for probably 10 minutes. I learned a number of things in those 10 minutes of talking. And if I lived in this area and I was trying to figure out stuff with my elder board, he'd be on my resource team. If I asked you to, would you say yes? No. Okay, thank you. but you see what I'm saying? Build a team. Think through the areas that you need. And hopefully you can become really strong in one or two areas, but don't try to be an expert in everything. Just know who to go to and learn and glean from them. And then just a special word for couples in ministry. And Sherry, why don't you touch on that?
I just really want to talk about, if you're married, You have somebody that you can be studying the word with,
yeah,
or studying a book with. And one of the things, though, that Kevin and I had kind of fun sharing is that while we both love the word of God passionately, we found that when we first started dating and we were first married, that studying it together really didn't, wasn't like our best time together for some reason.
It led to two different things. it would lead to two things when we try to study the Bible together. we would either end up arguing and debating because we both think
not very necessarily debating.
Well, but just like
we think theologically.
Instead of it being devotional, it became sort of it would become almost like a study, and it became too intense. Or we would end up making out and just kissing a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why the Bible just really got me excited. So.
You're getting something confused. Let me tell you something. That was when we were dating.
Yeah, she doesn't kiss me anymore.
But anyways, one of the things we found out, that there doesn't have to be this exact way that you study God's word or study a Christian book together. And so Kevin and I actually found that kind of doing our own personal devotion, but then coming together and talking about what we are learning has been a great way for us to grow in the Word together. Yeah. And so he's studying Acts right now. I'm studying Mark, and almost every day. And we don't make work of it. It's just part of the fabric of our life now.
Yeah.
I'll just say, "Hey, Kevin, today in Mark, this is what you know." And then I'm just kind of sharing, and then he'll give me the leadership lessons he's learning through Acts. And that has just been a good thing for us. So I guess our word of encouragement is that if you're not doing something with your spouse, try to think of something that would work for the two of you. It doesn't have to be a traditional set at the table, and that's okay if you do that. Mm-hmm. If it works for you, that's great. But find something that works. But just be in the word, studying the word, talking about the word. We have each other.
Yeah. And we know couples that study together, you know, once a week or every day. We know couples do lots of different things. So find what works for you. The thing that was unique that worked for us is just doing our own thing, but then checking in and giving highlights. So over the last 20 years, I've learned so many things from Scripture that just come from her doing her study and sharing the highlights of what she's learned. And that's what works for us. And then we're not saying do that. We're saying find what works for you. But ask yourself, in terms of your minds, is my mind being sharpened in Scripture through the spiritual life of my spouse? Boy, all of a sudden your spouse will seem more and more valued and precious to you when you say, God is teaching me through what they're learning. And what I love is Sherry has insights so different than what I have when I read Scripture. And I have insights that are different than hers. And so my learning doubles because of what I learned from her.
And it's just kind of fun. Even today, and this just came out of my heart, we woke up this morning, it's so beautiful, and I said to Kevin, I feel like reading Colossians. Can I read it out loud? That was our quiet time. And we actually did it together. Yeah. And I read Colossians for it. And that was it. That's what we did today. So we just kind of let the Spirit lead us.
Yeah.
But just being in the Word, there's not a set way to do it.
And I just listened quietly, and probably four or five times, Sherry would stop and just give some commentary on what God was speaking to her heart. And it was wonderful. Yeah. Well, I want to pause for a minute and just take our minds and place them before the Lord. And let's just quiet our hearts for a moment and just think about your mind. Think about the world of your mind. Think about, I know that each person is busy, and the idea of sitting for 3 hours a day and studying is probably not realistic for most. But to quiet, be quiet and say, Lord, we give you our minds. And we want to examine how we're doing. Are we, Lord, are we saturating our minds with your word? Not just for work, not just for tasks, but just to be with you, to listen to the voice of your Spirit, to hear your word, to allow it to encourage, to convict, to stir us up, to comfort us. Lord, meet us in this quiet moment and speak to us if we need to go deeper in the world of our minds, if we need to heal some things that are broken or reestablish some patterns. Lord, speak to our hearts. Speak to our minds even now.